And her family here, praise God. God is good. Yeah. My friend Bud, it's good to see everybody here. God, praise God, he's good to us. Could you find Hebrews chapter 12? I need to read the first 13 verses. If you're not able to stand with us, we understand. But if you are able to stand, would you stand while I read these 13 verses in your hearing? We'll ask God's blessing upon our time together. Hebrews chapter 12, the first 13 verses. It reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3. "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Verse 7. "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" Verse 10. "For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Verse 12. "Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." Father, thank you for the Word of God that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to discern the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. Lord, we need you here. Open your word to us as our hearts are open to you. Meet us now in the Spirit and in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for this text is, "Do not grow weary under God's discipline." Do not grow weary under God's discipline. Because of what our congregation has been experiencing here in recent weeks and months, I've been reading and thinking a lot about suffering. The fact is, you and I know that all Christians will suffer. In spite of what you've been told by popular TV preachers and others, the Bible is replete. God makes no mistake in communicating to His people that we will suffer in this fallen world. Right, New Hope? So that's no mystery to us. We have experiential knowledge to know that that's true. Now, not only do all Christians suffer, but all Christians suffer in various ways, in a variety of ways. We don't all suffer the same way. And we don't all suffer for the same reasons. But the fact is, we all suffer. Now, I want to be clear. What I'm about to talk to you about today is a particular kind of suffering. All right? I'm not talking about all kinds of suffering. I'm talking about a particular kind of suffering that we will all experience as Christians. Now, these Christians here to whom this letter was written, this is a pastoral letter written to people who are hurting. These people were suffering. They had lost their property. Many of them lost their homes. They'd lost their possessions. They'd lost their freedom. They'd been driven away from the places where they grew up. They were scattered. Many of them had even lost their lives. And this pastor is writing to them so that they not give up. But he's also wanting them to understand why they're suffering. You see, this kind of suffering, particularly when it's stretched out over a long period of time, can lead to despair. And some of us know the weight that you bear up under when you've suffered for a long time. You have to fight against despair. That's my Christian brother and sister. You don't have to pretend. That's biblical living. That's godly living. You got to fight against discouragement and despair, even depression. And so this pastor doesn't want these Christians to slip into that, to fall into despair that will lead to unbelief and to falling away. So he writes, see, the reason we love the Bible is because the Bible faces reality. The Bible doesn't dodge the Bible doesn't dodge suffering. It helps us deal with it honestly and biblically and with God's perspective. So that's what we want to spend a few minutes doing today. Now listen to me. I'm trying to be very clear here. Some suffering is directly from God as discipline. Now, are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm not talking about all suffering. But the Bible is clear and replete and succinct. There is some suffering that comes directly from God as discipline. And it is reserved for Christians only. I hope before we're done that you'll see that's a good thing. Are we clear? Some suffering comes directly from God as discipline. And it's reserved for His children. Therefore, we must prayerfully consider why we suffer, why we are suffering right now. We must prayerfully consider why others are suffering right now and not jump to conclusions that you know why. Don't be like Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar that came to Job thinking they knew exactly what was going on with him. Don't we know that experience? Everybody else knows what's going on with you. But I'm serious now, New Hope. We need to prayerfully consider why each one of us is experiencing the suffering that's going on in our lives. And we need to consider our response to it. Let's consider what God has to say about suffering in the form of discipline for Christians. I want to begin with this, because I don't want any of us to start as believers. We got this nagging problem when we hear the word discipline; it just stirs up negative things in us. Some of you are already tense because I'm saying that God brings discipline, and you've already clammed up on me. My brother, my sister, that's not right. That's not godly. Because the Bible says, I haven't told you anything that the Bible didn't say. So here's what we need to start. Discipline, the word discipline, it's paiduo, phonetically, from the Greek. P-A-I-D-E-U-O. Paiduo. And the word means to assist a person in making appropriate choices. To assist a person in making godly choices. Isn't that right, parents? Isn't that the reason we discipline our children? They have made what? Wrong choices, and you want to assist them to make right choices. He who spares the rod, what? Hates his child. Is that better? You okay? Release your... Let's just study this thing together, all right? Hear me out before you reach your conclusions. So discipline means to assist in the development of a person's ability to make appropriate choices. That's where we start, all right? Now, let's dive in. First thing I see here is that Jesus is the example and encouragement for you and I as we're facing suffering. You see it there? Look at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, you see? Jesus is the example. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. You see what God is holding before us. Look at Jesus so you don't grow weary. Look at Jesus suffering so that you will know and have encouragement to suffer. Look at Jesus who suffered redemptively. Look at Jesus suffering for redemptive purposes. Look at Jesus suffering unjustly so that you will be encouraged to suffer justly. Jesus was suffering, and he sinned not. You and I suffer because we sin. You see, the only reason you need discipline is to what? Correct. Is that right? So, I won't even say that, because I know I'm not talking to anyone who has... Hopefully, I'm not talking to anyone who has any inkling that you are sinless. So all of us know that we are candidates for God's, all Christians know that we are candidates for God's discipline. Amen? And thank God for it. And I hope to convince you that we ought to be more thankful before I'm done. Jesus is the example. The sinless Son of God endured suffering unjustly so that we as children of God would persevere in our own suffering as God disciplines us for our sin. That's called, those of you who've been in Sunday school all of these weeks and months, that's sanctification. Sanctification addresses sin in our lives so that we can be conformed more into the image of Christ. So, Jesus is our example. The next point. Stay with me. Discipline is normal for God's children. Okay? That's what we see here. Look at verse 5. Discipline is normal. And have you forgotten the exhortation that was addressed you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? You see the normal? This is the normal process. Verse 8, if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You see? You need to be concerned if you are not experiencing discipline. Is that what the text says? Discipline is normal for every Christian. What are you saying, Brother Willie? I'm saying this. Every Christian should expect God's discipline. Everyone. If you've not thought about it before, I'm saying this, I'm laying this out before you today to think about it today. If you are a Christian, you may have been suffering under God's discipline and didn't know it. That's the reason you haven't changed. But oh, we got a good father. Don't we? And he knows how to change his children. Doesn't he? Yeah. See, this is not just for the Christians of the first century. You know these, you see that in some of your Bible, that part of verse 5 and 6 may be in a little different font or whatever. In other words, that's a quote from the Old Testament. That's a quote from Proverbs 3, I believe it is, verses 11 and 12. So you see, God was disciplining his children 800-900 years B.C., 800-900 years B.C. So this is nothing new. Read the Old Testament. Was God disciplining the children of Israel? Sure he was. This is true for us today. The Lord disciplines the one he loves. It was true then. It's true now. I'm saying no Christian should be surprised when experiencing suffering from God's discipline. No pastor should be surprised. Amen. No usher should be surprised. No intercessor. It doesn't matter where you stand. It doesn't matter where you serve. We all have sin that needs to be addressed. We all should expect God's discipline. No one is exempt. No Christian is exempt. So, what's your point, Brother Willie? You need to be careful with your thoughts when you're suffering. Be very careful. Because you can reason yourself into wrong places when you're suffering. Especially if you don't know that discipline is normal. It's a normal thing for a Christian to be disciplined. I'm not talking about you need to be seriously concerned if you stay under discipline. I mean, come on. You really hard-headed. Isn't that the way it is with your own children? If they are that hard-headed, you got to keep the hammer on. You You got to turn the heat up. And my brother, my sister, if you stay under discipline, you can expect more heat. So, discipline is normal. Next. Discipline, now stay with me now, I won't be long. But I think that this is important. Discipline is normal for every Christian. Discipline is also painfully unpleasant. Yeah. I don't ever remember my mother's switches being pleasant. There was no such thing as child abuse when I was growing up. I don't remember a spanking without whips and bloody spots with a switch. Did you have nice spankings? My dad cut hair and he had a razor strap. I much prefer my mother's, I prefer the switches, the whips, and the blood than my dad's razor strap. I got in trouble once and I decided to outrun my dad. This is when he was younger. He let me run and caught me. That was not a pleasant experience. Discipline is not designed to be pleasant. We know that. Come on, Christian. If we know that, if God has put enough reason in us to know that that's the way you discipline your child, how much more the Heavenly Father know that we need pain to correct us. Now, I know this isn't fun preaching, but if we're going to grow, we need to know. My people die for what? Lack of knowledge. Discipline is painfully unpleasant. You see that in verse 11? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. That in your Bible? For the moment. In other words, when I'm going through it, discipline is not a pleasant experience. What did he say? All discipline. All of it. For everyone who experiences. This is a painful experience. Every Christian should expect pain in discipline. This was true in the first century. And it's true today. Now here's the problem. This is the reason I spent a few minutes there. This is a hard doctrine for Christians in the United States of America. Because we have so much. And we got so much that we get lost in it. We are a wealthy people. New Hope, I'm going to tell you, in this country, I'm not looking at a poor person here. Not in this country. Now, I'm not saying that we all have all that we want, but we got a whole lot more than people in other places. The majority of Christians in the world have a whole lot less than we do, right here at this little church. This is a hard doctrine for Christians in the United States of America. We got liberty. Many Christians around the world do not have the liberty to do this, to get together when they want to get together in comfort. We've got wealth and we've got the American dream. In the United States, where the TV preaches telling you that as a Christian you ought to be healthy, as a Christian you ought to be wealthy, and if you're not, something's wrong with your faith, this is a hard doctrine. We expect good times and success if we're faithful in giving. Now, come on, I know you don't say that. But that's your expectation. How many of you are happy when you've been faithful, when you give and you've been faithful in service and the bottom drops out? We don't expect that. We expect that if we're faithful, then trouble won't come my way. It's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. Here's what I'm trying to say, New Hope. Do not let the pain of God's discipline catch you by surprise. Discipline is designed by God to bring pain. Don't be surprised. I don't know how you used to do. But see, my parents let me know when I was about to get spanking. And so, I don't know how you did it, but, you know, it's kind of like taking a shot or whatever. You get ready. You close your eyes or whatever you need to do. You try to cover up, because you know what's not covered up gets hit. Because pain is coming. Christian, don't let the pain of God's discipline catch you by surprise. It'll make you start thinking wrong. That's my point. Jesus doesn't love me. If he loved me, then this wouldn't be happening to me. You see? You start thinking wrong if you're not careful. Because you start comparing yourself to somebody. I ain't so bad. So-and-so is much worse sinner than me. Don't let the pain catch you by surprise, deacons. Don't let the pain catch you by surprise, choir members. Don't let the pain catch you by surprise, parents. Don't let the pain of God's discipline catch you by surprise, singles, young people. No one is exempt from the pain of God's discipline. You must be careful with your thoughts when you're suffering. It's normal for God's children to have painful experiences when He disciplines us. Next thing. So you agree with me. Discipline is normal, and discipline is painfully unpleasant. The next thought is this. Discipline is for our good. Amen? I know you're not convinced yet. But you ought to be. If it's from God our Father, the Lord is good, isn't He? So even if you don't understand it yet, by faith you know that if it's from God, it's for our good toward His children. But I just want you to read it for yourself. Look at verse 10. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good. There it is. God's discipline is for our good. I want to give you four quick reasons. I'm sure there are a lot more, but I just want to give you four quick reasons why God's discipline is for the good of the Christian. I see the first one right there. You still looking at verse 10? The first one is right there at the end of verse 10. That we may share His holiness. That's one wonderful reason that God disciplines the Christian. It motivates us for a holy lifestyle. God is faithful to bring discipline for unholy habits. He's faithful to bring disciplines for sin so that we long to be like Him.
When God disciplines, I realize I don't want this sin. I want God. The psalmist could say, when sin had so infected his life, "Whom am I in heaven but thee? And I desire no one on earth but thee." You see, discipline motivates us to be holy. We want to be like Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. We want to be like Him. Discipline makes us want to be holy. Discipline yields benefits of a righteous life. See that in 11? "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." I just mentioned this. Give you this appetizer. What would you enjoy in life more than sweet communion with God? You see, the discipline makes you get at that sin so you can get the things out of the way that are interrupting your communion with God. Amen. Is there, come on, anybody that has had sweet communion with God, is there anything better than that? Peace with God and peace with men. Walk, as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him and fellowship with each other. That's living. Motivates us for a holy life. Number two, motivation, why it's good, is that it motivates us to run our race without sin. I see that in verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, you probably have noticed by now, this passage is written with athletic metaphors, athletic images, right? So you got an image here of an athlete running in the Olympics there in the first century, right? Running was a major sporting event in the first century. And so I don't need to talk to you about running. You know as much as I do. When you watch people on TV getting ready to compete in track and field, they're out there with their warm-ups and all that heavy-duty stuff on. Do they run with that on? Of course not. When it comes time to run, you got to get rid of all that excess weight. Anything that's going to slow you down, anything that's going to distract you, anything that's going to bring more wind resistance, you lay it aside so you can run the race to the best of your ability. Discipline makes us want to run the race to the best of our ability. And the only way to do that is without sin. Now, I want to say something here, and I hope that you'll listen to me. I believe that this is an important issue. I believe that God brings discipline to the Christian's life to make us get rid of secret sins. You see, there are some things that we don't talk to people about, but they're there. And you don't think that they affect you. Some sins that you cuddle, and you don't think that it's affecting you. We talked about this in the teen class this morning. It's foolish thinking for you to think that you can do stuff in the dark and nobody knows. That's foolish thinking. That you can get away with sin when nobody's around. Amen. That's foolish thinking. And so God brings painful discipline to make you get rid of those secret sins. Because it's affecting your race. It's affecting the way you're running this race, Christian. You can't keep doing that. You can't keep up that secret life. You can't keep up that secret love of money that you have. That covetousness that you keep buried in your heart. That envy that you have against people when they do a little bit better, when they get a little bit more than you. You can't keep that buried. That's weighing you down, because Satan is going to keep bringing things that's going to keep you tied up with that covetousness, and you can't hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness. It'll keep you. It makes you a slave. You're not free. I remember, some of you all know this. Anybody that's had any experience in churches, you know, you go through church splits. And as a pastor, we've had some those experiences. And many times, as any of you who've gone through church life, you know there's some difficult, you have some times when, much like Paul and Barnabas, when you have some unpleasant splits with people, right? I remember when I was working downtown, Southwestern Bell, I'd see some people that I knew hated me. You know what they'd do? They'd go to the other side of the street. These are supposed Christians. Now, are they free? Are they? No. They're bound up. I'd come around one guy, and he'd be just as happy and laughing and talking. And I won't give you any more details, because I'm not talking about people. I'm just giving you examples. He'd be there happy and laughing and talking and having conversation. As soon as he'd see me, his face would go gloom. Is he free? Is he free? No. God brings painful discipline to get at secret sins, because it's keeping you from running the race that He set before you. For some of us, God has placed thorns that He does not plan to take away. Can you live with that? I hope so. Because Paul had to reach the point to where he realized, I need to stop giving all my attention to this thorn. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Go on and run your race. Paul said, I gladly then would go on and live my life in weakness and in the pain that comes, because when I am weak, what? Then I'm strong. Now you think about your own life. What kind of sins do you have buried that you know you need to get rid of? None of us can say innocent. Right? We all have to be honest before God. Lord, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me. These sins cling closely to us and distract us from faithful perseverance and commitment to Christ. You don't think they affect you. God says they do. Who's right? Is the Father right? Does the Father know His children? Does the Father know, forgive the pun, does the Father know best? These sins distract us. Discipline makes us see the harm and uselessness of keeping secret sins, so we get rid of them, get them out of our lives. I'm longer than I thought. I need a few more minutes. I was watching a movie recently, and there was this overweight young man who was in a military school. And he couldn't complete the training track there, the obstacle track, you know, they had for him.
And so he had to lose some weight. Because the only way he's going to pass is to complete that track. All right? But he had a problem. He loved junk food. And he had junk food everywhere. Hidden. You know how a junk food junkie, they got their stash. And even when he knew he was in trouble and this was a serious matter, he kept eating the junk food. Now you see, that little secret of his was going to show up around here and down here. And you see, he was doing it at night and in secret places, but it made itself known. That's the way it is with sin. You might think it ain't going to show up, but my brother, my sister, you're wrong. If you keep feeding on it, it's going to show up, and it's going to keep you from running the track and finishing the course. Right? Thirdly, for our good, discipline is for our good because it motivates us to fight against sin. You see verse 4? In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I'm not going to have time to develop all these. This is another metaphor. This is the picture of a boxer. You saw we looked at a runner. Now you're looking at a boxer. And you know eventually when you're in a fight, eventually what's going to happen if it's a real fight, you're going to start seeing some what? Some blood. And is that the way we deal with sin? Are you willing to fight with sin even though you get bloody at times? You're going to take some blows. Anybody know that? When you're fighting against sin, you're going to take some heavy blows. You're not going to get all the punches in. But if you're fighting thinking that you're going to get all the punches in, then this is a war. We're in a war. Just because you get take some hits in the conflict doesn't mean you lost the war, does it? Motivates us to fight against sin. You must daily fight against the sin of unbelief and despair and fear from the government, fear from your employers, fear from the schools, fear for your health, fear for your provision, fear that I might get fired, fear that somebody's going to hurt me if I stand up for Christ, fear that the government will shut me down, fear, fear. You can't live that way. Afraid to stand for Christ because I might lose my stuff. Or I might, in this particular case, he says, you're afraid that you might experience some pain. You see, we don't know much about that in this old America, United States of America, do we? But just take a look. Open your eyes, my brothers and my sisters. This is the way Christians live every day around the world. They put their lives on the line every day to be a Christian. Discipline motivates us to fight against sin. And then it motivates us to persevere. You see that in verses 12 and 13. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint. The last thing I want to mention to you is that discipline is an encouragement. You may not have thought that up to this point. Look at verse, where is it? Look at verse 5. You see verse 5? And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? That word exhortation, you've heard the word before. It sounds familiar, like the word paraclete. You know what that is, right? Comforter, encourager. The word is paraklesis. So discipline is to be an encouragement for us. Two ways. It demonstrates God's love. How many parents have told your children, I'm doing this, why? What? Because I love you. Now, do they believe that at the time? Do your children? When the rod of discipline has struck and is raised, a hammer is raised again, are you saying, oh, mommy and daddy loves me? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. That's not quite the way it works, is it, children? But just because it's pain doesn't mean that there's not love. Right? So God has to tell us that. That discipline is to be an encouragement. It demonstrates that God loves us. You remember what I told you? The word discipline means to assist the person in making godly choices and making right choices. God is assisting us. He doesn't do that for unbelievers. Amen. He only does that for His children because He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow more and more into the image of His Son. He wants us to be good image bearers for Himself. And so He assists us in living in a way that'll bear His image. We don't lie. We don't steal. We don't covet. We don't commit adultery. We don't bear a false witness. He assists us in living in such a way that we let our light shine before men in such a way that they see our good works and what? Glorify our Father. So discipline demonstrates God's love. And then it reveals that we are children of God. Verse 6 says, for the Lord disciplines the one He loves. He chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? God only devotes this kind of time and attention and care to His children. Children that are to reflect the image of Christ to a dying world. So what does all this mean? My beloved brother, sister, every Christian in the room, would you just listen a minute? How are you handling suffering in your life? You doing pretty good with it? Do you know why you're suffering? You see, God doesn't bring or let suffering come just for you to sit and say, oh, this is the way it is. No. You need to meet with God. You see, it's fine to seek wise counsel, but you know who ultimately knows why you're suffering? Your Father in heaven. Does He know? He knows. How are you handling it? Have you grown weary or discouraged? Have you had thoughts of giving up? Who could raise their hand and say, I've never had that kind of thought? This is true. This is real Christian living. But aren't you thankful that God doesn't leave you there thinking that way? Have you taken time to discern whether your suffering is in fact directly from God's hand and heart to assist you in making godly choices for your life? Is it possible that the suffering you're going through is because you are habitually, consistently clinging to secret sins and making ungodly choices? Could it be that you've been wallowing in self-pity because you thought your suffering was unique, when in fact, suffering is normal for every Christian and is supposed to be painful when it's disciplined? Pain gets our attention, and enough pain will cause the Christian to listen to God. Enough pain will cause the Christian to obey God, our Heavenly Father. Would you give this some consideration today? God's discipline is for our good. God's discipline motivates us to be holy, motivates us to get rid of secret sin. God's discipline motivates us to fight against sin and temptation with greater resolve. Would you reconsider today if the pressure you're facing may be, in fact, God's revealing His love for you? The difficulty and pressure you're facing may be God's plan to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ as His child. My encouragement to you, get rid of secret sin. My brother, my sister, don't cuddle it any longer. Don't make excuses for it. Don't justify it. Get rid of secret sin. Don't grow weary in your commitment to Christ and His church. Get rid of anything that distracts you from loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. I want to be clear. All suffering is not from God. I'm talking about suffering in the form of discipline. You need to think this matter through. Jesus Christ is compassionate and faithful and loving and ready to forgive. He will hear your plea. As we bow together, call out to Him. Ask Him, what is going on in your life? Ask Him to search your heart. Ask Him if there are secret sins that you have not seen, that you have not understood. Ask Him to reveal it to you, and then be willing to do something about it. Now, my friend, if you're not a Christian, none of this applies to you. But the same Jesus is ready to receive you if you will humble yourself and come to Him by faith. He's calling. Come to Him. Let's bow together. Whatever your situation, let's go to Christ. He's the only help. Father, thank You for the great privilege of having Your Scriptures. Thank You, Lord, for not leaving us alone to face the difficulties, the challenges, the problems of life. Thank You for holding hope out to us and before us. Thank You for the great gift that we have in Jesus Christ. He is precious to us. He is lovely. He is our delight. Lord, we confess we want to delight ourselves in Him more. We want to grow more in our love for Him. But we need help. And so as we humble ourselves before You today, we confess that we need help for our hearts to be searched. Search us, Lord Jesus. Search us, Holy Spirit. Do Your work thorough. Lead us in the everlasting way. Our hope is in You. Our eyes are on You. We are looking to You, Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lead on now. We will follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.